Good morning. My name is Pam Bennett, and I'm with Ohio State University Extension. I am the chair of the Social Committee. So after the Denver meeting last year, Lucy contacted me and said, you would make a great chair of the Social Committee. Would you like to do that? And I said, well, sure. I love the Social Committee. But then I found out it's not the Social Committee in terms of parties and, you know, that kind of stuff. But we still have fun, and it is a very social group of people. One of our first things that we had done was to kind of talk about this, you know, Social Committee, if that appears on your dossier, kind of hard to, you know, justify that you're in charge of the social part of this humongously important project. So we approached the niche executive committee and said, hey, can we change this? So we really brainstormed and came up, you know, what is our true message? And it was about the community and health benefits of consumer horticulture. And so they approved that, and it was changed. So we are now the community and health benefits, although some materials I've seen out there are still the social committee. So if you see that, that's us. These are our committee members. Sherry Dorn, Natalie is not here at this time. Nicole's not here. Mary Wilson is here. Cynthia is here. We meet at 2 o'clock, which is a very unusual meeting time, 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on the first Tuesday of the month, just for Cynthia because she is our Hawaii partner. And Cynthia, I now understand I missed all my 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time conference calls this week because of that. So she asked us if we could change, so we did. We accommodated her in terms of her time. Teresa Hazian is an extremely valuable member of this committee because she is not necessarily focused on horticulture. She is a hort therapist, and she is bringing in a totally different perspective for us, especially when it comes to some of the work that we've been doing. And then there's a few other people on the committee that have been involved on a lower level at this point in time, but I'll tell you why later. But I imagine once we get to the fun stuff, they're going to jump back in and become more involved. When we were in Atlanta, we sat down, we had a meeting, this was a little over a year ago at ASHS, and we looked at our goal. Our goal is to cultivate healthy, connected, and engaged communities, and we have four objectives. And our objectives are to educate the public on nutritional, physical, psychological, and social benefits, provide policymakers with the current scientific information, the literature review of all the areas, which we're going to ask the executive committee to change to, because I'm not sure why, as the community and health benefits, we're trying to find out information for you guys. So we're going to ask them to change that. But again, this just kind of indicates the flow of this whole process. It's still changing. We're on the ground floor. So there are some tweaks to be made to our objectives. Strengthen the adoption of consumer hort as an effective tool for improving human health and well-being, and motivate a diverse U.S. population to adopt consumer hort as a means to address culturally relevant needs and increase community participation. Our committee got this. We sat down in Atlanta, and we were so excited. We just brainstormed. We had everything solved. We were going to do an educational program that Master Gardeners can deliver. We were going to do all kinds of great work. We had all this stuff in mind, and then we thought, wait a minute. What are we missing here? And we realized we really needed to do the hard stuff first, the gap analysis, and the literature review. Now, all of the stuff that Debbie said is exactly with ours. We keep everything on time. Everything is, you know, one-hour meetings, first Tuesday of the month. Committees are dedicated. People are dedicated, so forth. But it stopped when she got to the Charlie Hall Lit Review, because one of the comments in our committee about, I don't know, 3 or 4 months ago when we were in the midst of the Lit Review was, well, you have to remember, the Economic Committee had all their Lit Review done for them by Charlie Hall and his grad student, and it's being updated. And we're coming into this with some information from Charlie Hall, but not a significant amount of literature review in the social and the community and health benefits area. So we said, okay, we really need to do this. So we started with the literature review, and we lost all those last people on the committee because Mud Barron is an incredible social media user. Bree Arthur is an author, and she's focused on foodscaping and so forth. I mean, we lost some of those people because they're not academic. They didn't want to get into the Lit Review, and they saw this, and their eyes just kind of glazed over. But we've kept them involved. We kept them in the loop. They want to come back when we get to the fun stuff. But right now, we're really, it's the academic team that's really involved in the literature review. So the lack of interest. The challenge was what to collect. What information are we looking for? I mean, it runs from prison therapy to school gardens to community gardens. I mean, there's a whole gamut of the community and health benefits. So we had to decide what to collect, who's collecting what. We met with Debbie and Julie, the three of us met and started talking about, okay, if we're doing this, you're doing this. We wanted to make sure we were working together on collecting this data. And then within our own team, so what journal article are you going to look at? What are you going to look at? So we decided to start with the top tier journal articles and then bring in the social media and the popular press later on. How do we track it? How do we basically take all this information and put it into a database so that we knew what we were looking at? And not only that, but as we were going through this, we thought, you know, this isn't just for this effort. This could be for a broad use nationwide in terms of consumer horticulture, commercial horticulture. The stuff we're gathering in this lit review is something we want to hold on to. And again, like I said, we lost members, but we'll get them back. So we started our literature review in April, May of 2017. And it was just like eating an elephant. And finally, Natalie Baumgartner said, you know, we got to do this just by breaking it down piece by piece. So we started chunking away. And I got to tell you, it was hard. It was very cumbersome. So when we first started the literature review, this is kind of what we were like. I mean, it really and truly was just, oh, my God, what are we into? So eventually, though, it got to the point where it was like this. Within the last 3 months, 2 months, we have really gotten into the literature review and to the point of, I think it was August, we met weekly in August, just to push each other and encourage each other and say, okay, what are we doing? What are we doing? We're doing good. And Sherry Dorn helped really lead that effort with us, to keep us motivated to not give up on the lit review. So here's some of the things that we've discovered in this in terms of the gaps in our literature review. Big picture ideas. A lot of the literature that we're looking at is focused on a very specific item. Like one of the presenters yesterday in the Human Issues in Horticulture talked about recovery from a stroke using a specific motion and using plants. So they're very specific items. We're missing randomized studies, bigger samples, replications, longevity studies. If you look at all the literature that we've gone through, it all says more research is needed. Further research is needed. So there's still, I mean, it's still very, very basic right now. One of the things Jerry pointed out was lack of connection to big data. And this is one of the things that we can start really getting into in terms of food deserts, body mass index, crime rate, graduation rates. There's a lot of information out there, but we're not connecting it necessarily to the big data that people are using quite a bit right now. Some of the priorities. What do we need to know? Stress reduction, lower BMI. And again, Julie mentioned that we're all interconnected. We are all interconnected. The lower medical costs, the reduced medical costs, the economic value, the faster healing recovery, the environmental issues. So what are the priorities? What do we need to know? Specific diseases. There's a lot out there in terms of stroke information, but when we're looking across the gamut at all the specific diseases, we don't see that. And then gardens, community youth gardens, urban landscapes, healing landscapes. There's quite a bit of a literature review of information on gardens specifically. Debbie, I don't know if you remember saying this, but when we met, Julie and Debbie and I met, and she said, researchers in other disciplines are ahead of us and doing this work. And this is truly what we have found. Just after we'd met, I got a letter from our university and in our newsletter that said, sociology, whatever it was, is doing an experiment with community gardens in Franklin County, and we need volunteers if you want to help. And it's like they're not connected whatsoever to horticulture and crop sciences, not connected at all. So we're learning about these other research areas through the university and not through our own horticulture team members. So here's some of the observations and discoveries. As she said, other disciplines are doing this work, and this is why Teresia Hazian has been such a valuable member, because she is a hort therapist. She's working in a hospital. She's bringing in the Journal of Nursing, Journal of Psychology, all the outside of horticulture content that really is very valuable to help us. There's a lot of Asian research on this, and several of the presenters yesterday in Human Issues Horticulture were from Korea. So there's a lot of Asian research, and there's a lack of depth in the United States. We don't have the people focusing on the community and health benefits. We have discussed this, and we need potential team members for this research project. So people outside of our industry, and we have learned of quite a few names based on some of the research that we've been doing. We picked up a young lady that would be great. She is at a small community college in Michigan. Probably never would have known of her or seen her, but we hope to contact her and have her come on this team. We need to work with the Human Issues in Horticulture Working Group, and Lucy has been on this group, and she's mentioned this. We need to work with that group. There are groups here, working groups, that need to work together to focus on the research issues. And we're in our own silos, and I think Debbie or one of you, you know, had this here, here, and here. We're all in our, maybe it was Lucy, we're all in our own silos in terms of what we're doing. How do we broaden that and make sure we're bringing in the other disciplines to help us? We're horticulturists. We love plants. We're not the sociology researchers. In September, this was great because as we're getting ready to put this program together, it's like, hey guys, I'm not sure what we're going to talk about here. What are we going to tell them? What have we done? We're beating ourselves up. What have we actually done? We kind of had an epiphany thanks to, again, Sherry Dorn from Georgia, who is Diane Ralph's, was a graduate student of Diane Ralph. How many of you remember Diane Ralph and the name? If you've done literature review, if you're as old as I am, you remember that name. But Diane was involved in 1990 in the formation of the People Plant Council. And you can see the focus, psychological, sociological, physiological, community and health benefits, or the social committee, economic and environmental. This was her focus area back in the 90s, looking at the effects of plants on people. And Diane has done a lot of work in the UK. Sherry came across the book, Social and Therapeutic Horticulture Evidence and Messages from Research, and came up with this research model that they were using. Simpic et al., they were working, this is kind of how all the social and community benefits came together. If you look at this model, and I don't have a pointer, employment, skills development, works on also the economic, food cultivation, consumption, you know, gardens and the environment. So everything is kind of wrapped around in here, and we kind of looked at this as being a potential model for some of the research in the community and health benefits area. And then Debbie, bless her heart, sent this a couple weeks ago, and this just really was extremely valuable. Debbie, thank you very much for doing that. This came out from ASLA, American Society of Landscape Architects, newsletter called The Dirt, What We Still Don't Know About the Health Benefits of Nature. So keep in mind, Diane was doing this back in the 90s, and we're still looking at this today, obviously. To me, this is a group that we definitely need to connect with, especially with our committee. Howard Frumkin is leading a group of people and epidemiologists, environmental health, ecology, all those other disciplines that we need to connect with. And they're at the University of Washington. He's also working with outside organizations. So, boy, doesn't this look a little bit like niche in what we're doing in terms of some of the efforts? Nature Conservancy, Stanford University Center for Biological Conservation Biology, all these groups that are working together, and they developed a research agenda. And this was really exciting for me, Debbie. I can't tell you how much we appreciate this because, again, had we not have had the niche executive committee and our monthly meeting, or every other week, biweekly meetings, I guess it is, have we not been talking to each other, this committee, this group never would have heard of this, and this information wouldn't have been out there, and we would not have been able to act on it. But now that we have this, they've developed the environmental health perspectives. A couple of the tables or figures, rather, that came out of there, again, looks at some of the things that are happening in terms of research and what needs to happen, starting with step one, identifying a specific measurable element of nature, identify a key characteristics or a function of the element, natural element, going on, looking at the moderating factors until you get down to the health impact, identifying a specific health impact, usually a benefit, but it also possibly could be a harm. So this is their proposed framework, and they developed the spectrum of forms of nature contact, which is really kind of cool if you look at this. Starting on the left, you've got your spatial scale, whether it's a large scale or small scale, and then the bottom goes across the frequency, whether it's an occasional opportunity or a routine ongoing, like residing in a green neighborhood is an ongoing frequency. Wilderness adventures might be a large scale but very occasional frequency. So it just, again, kind of brings everything that we're looking at in terms of the community and health benefits together in a visual. So they also developed these 7 domains for further research. And I'm not going to read through those. You can see those. But they've explained each one of those domains. One of the interesting ones is exposure science. How long do you need to be exposed to nature before a certain positive benefit occurs? So looking at this much more in depth. So I asked Sherry to kind of talk to Diane and kind of come back with some information from her about, my question was, so Diane was doing this in the 90s. Why did it never catch on? Why have we not done that from 1990 to 2016, 2017? What's happening? So some of the things that she came back with, number one was the communicating the results of the research should be planned. Don't do research just for the sake of research. It needs to be part of a comprehensive initiative, which is, again, telling me this is a good thing doing this gap, the literature review, because, again, in doing it, you're thinking, what is this? What is this all about? Applied research is considered less prestigious than basic or theoretical. So focusing on the fact that we need to make sure this is applied research and what comes out of it is something that is very useful. I thought this was interesting, too. Paul Larson in 72 said, when we only publish for our colleagues, our work does little more than the future disciplines. So if we publish and come here to these conferences for horticulture, it's not going to get out into the big picture. So we need to start stepping out into the other areas. But Debbie, this is old stuff. Debbie's clapping and applying. This is old stuff. Why haven't we done this? So looking at getting into other conferences, medicine, nursing, all those other areas of disciplines. An unknown number of years may elapse before the published research is connected with other similar research to observe patterns that have applications. So again, that longevity study going down, you know, not just 1 or 2 years. This was very interesting. Why don't we have, you know, people doing this research? And this, Lucy, fits right into the niche in the funding. Many years ago in an ASHS meeting, she was told by USDA guys who decided what to fund that they would be glad to fund the area of human health beyond nutrients when the ornamental hort industry started requesting that they do so. So we're doing that. I mean, this gives me goosebumps because the things that she is saying is exactly what we are trying to accomplish. And then she's also said the stage is set for ornamental, for our industry to support the USDA targeting their funding to get a better understanding. So again, tying back into our literature review. The university, the industry needs to help universities prioritize hiring researchers in the plant science. So with our industry council, we're working to all work together to say, well, industry wants this and so forth. How do we tie all of our efforts together? So Diane also said the increase in knowledge in health and work satisfaction, the industry must play a role in USDA-funded programs to share concerns for mental health, social science, in order to educate consumers regarding the benefits and the value. So again, I just keep repeating some of the things that we are talking about. Diane, we asked the question, you know, why is the UK and Asian countries, why are they much further ahead? And we're kind of digging down and figuring out, you know, why does the U.S. not have that same appreciation as what these other countries have in terms of plants and health and the community benefits? So it's tedious right now. I'm not asking anybody to join us unless you really like literature review. If you do, that would be fantastic because we have a lot of journals that we haven't gotten to. Our plan is to get the top-tier journals done and then delve into some of the popular press and social media. Hopefully we'll bring in some other committee members for that. Once that is completed, we want to do that by the end of this year. Once that is completed, we will have a very, very good understanding of the gaps. We are very poised, though, to start a social media campaign on the community and health benefits. We are waiting on the marketing committee to come up with the final message because, again, at the national level, we want to make sure we're all saying the same thing. So we're waiting on the marketing committee to come up with that final message so we can start plants do that and other potential hashtags for the health benefits of consumer horticulture. And then we are extremely poised to tap into the over 80,000-plus master gardeners around the country. The majority of us who are involved in the committee in terms of the academic side of it, Mary, Cynthia, Sherry, myself, we all have Master Gardener volunteer programs in our states who can do the delivery of a very simple message. So we are very much prepared for that once we get past this literature review. So with that, Sherry.
$1 million. I just wonder what it is about all the stuff happening behind the scenes with 7-Eleven. Our industry, and I think I'm here in the world, does not get our fair share of success. We have a literature review with the Economic Committee. We're working on a gap analysis. That's next. We didn't talk about that with our committee. We want to give a graphic out there. The Environmental Committee, I don't know if you guys are working on a literature review. We need that. If we can come together and have a very good 3- or 4-page summary of research pilots, where we need to go as an industry to position this industry for future value, folks, the millennials could care less that we're pretty. Really and truly, they want functionality. And we're facing a lot of critical problems on the planet today. And we need to move forward together. That's really what this is all about. It's about positioning this industry together with a common research message that you then can go out and leverage for funding sources. That's all it's about. And so if we can get you to participate in this, we welcome you. And you can participate on the committee or council. We're very wise and diligent with the use of our time. And just step forward. We're all here. And we would love to have you work with us.
Thank you, Debbie. So as we wrap up our presentations this morning, I want to pause for a second. Have questions come to your mind, things that you want to direct specifically back to our speakers this morning? Amy Jo?
The logistics aren't quite mapped out yet, but we've done things like this. E-extension is a good example of how you can customize things to show the host or the partner institution's participation. And it would be something that that we would be digging into. I've been thinking a lot about it and how it might happen. And it might be that it's, you know, it's managed by an outside firm that's, you know, changing things, or that I'd prefer it that the institution can actually do it on their own. That they can change it on their own. Did everybody hear the question, by the way?
Go ahead and repeat it.
Oh, yeah. So the question was, how will the infographic be customizable? Just, I guess, summarize the question.
Okay, so the question is, how do the three subcommittees interact together? We'll have Pam answer that.
We have a conference call monthly, or every other week, rather, for the niche committee, the overall executive committee, which consists of the committee chairs, and we give our reports each time. And then if there is something, like when we got into the literature review, we started talking about it, we made sure we had a conference call as well, just to make sure we're coordinating our efforts.
So, and thank you for being here today to learn about the National Initiative for Consumer Horticulture. So just plant something is a great initiative.
The niche initiative is not meant to take away from any other horticulture initiatives. We need all initiatives to work together. As I said when I stood up at the end, we're operating at a 40 to 60,000 foot level, and we're working to create an infrastructure for things to happen with connectivity behind the scenes. It is not at all a specific program that is meant to detract from anything else. We as an industry are not competitive for federal resources. That money that was used for Just Plant Something, my understanding of it, there's three pots of money that come into this industry from the Farm Bill. One of them is the Specialty Crops Research Initiative that I mentioned, which is $80 million that's administered by NIFA. Another is the National Floriculture and Nursery Research Crops Initiative. And another one is the Specialty Crops Block Grant Program. The Specialty Crops Block Grant Program was a program that was leveraged by several states coming together to work and get that Just Plant Something, some resources at the state level. But the states, I'm in North Carolina, it's very complex to get that money. So you're right, having these pools of money to do a promotional program is very difficult. Niche is not about a promotional program. We're existing to bring resources together behind the scenes to create a common message and agenda, not to necessarily say, we're going to give you money. We don't know that yet. We're not there. We are working behind the scenes at the 60,000-foot level. This industry is not competitive at a national level. We're siloed. No one knows what horticulture is. The Seed Your Future meeting is going on, I think, right now. Dr. John Dole and Susan Yoder are giving that. And we need more people coming into horticulture. We're working with them. So we need all of these initiatives to get the messages out to the public. There's not a competition here. We love what you guys have done. Right now, we're working on the literature reviews. We're working on developing that common research agenda and a business plan. That's where we are. We're not ready to, at this point in time, say this is what we need to be doing. Does that make sense?
But may I suggest that your colleagues that are part of the Plant Something programs in your respective states familiarize themselves with niche and join our team, and I am sure they have skills, abilities, contacts, so forth, that they can contribute to the niche effort. Okay, other questions? Cynthia?
So the question was, does niche have something going for at the policy level? And the idea would be that we would actually go out and promote the industry in circles, in primarily legislative or regulatory circles, to bring resources back to the industry. Not everyone who is engaged in niche is able to do that with their jobs. So, Jill? So absolutely, Pam.
Yeah, and I think niche is bringing that together, that aspect for the terms there, the information that we're doing, we're providing that
And I'm certainly able to lobby. Jill is able to lobby. We have people. Oh, you're not? Oh, you can't. Oh, well, I am. I've got a target on my back with other stuff. But we do have some folks in the niche organization that are able to lobby. And then the economic committee, because we're so much further along, I'm aggressively included industry on our committee. And I know the other committees will be reaching out to industry as well. The marketing communications committee has reached out to industry. We want to have all of the interdisciplinary approach to what we're doing. We all get in our silos and we only sort of talk to one another, like Diane Ralph says. You know, we need to be out of our silos and talking with people internally, outside of our silos in the industry, and external to the industry. And so we're bringing people together that can actually advocate on behalf of policy. But I can tell you right now that maintaining American Hort has done a yeoman's job. Craig Regelbrugge specifically has done a yeoman's job of maintaining funding for the industry, working individually as well as part of the specialty crops block grant initiative in D.C., or the specialty crops committee working in D.C. So we do have resources that we are bringing into the industry. We need more. And we can get more if we can get organized and we get some common messages.
Any other questions? Lucy? So the question was, how could anyone else obtain a set of the infographic banners that were used in the Cultivate 17 parklet? And the answer is to contact Dr. Jill Calabro with HRI. Yes. Okay. Any other questions? So at this point, we have some questions for you. We want you to ponder resources, maybe that we've missed, things that we haven't covered here. You've heard where our three committees are at in their projects and goals. We want to know if you know of other research efforts. We have found the most amazing, insightful work by asking other people, sharing webinars, publications, tracking down citation lists. You can help us. Without getting involved necessarily in the literature, in the fun of the literature review, by simply sharing what you know. If you know of other researchers outside of Extension, outside of land-grant universities that have expertise in these fields, who have an interest in this research, let us know. Connect them with NICHE. Connect them with our website and the opportunity to get involved in our work. Same for potential research collaborators, you know, other disciplines. That's how you can truly be a valuable contribution to this effort. And just as a reminder that you too can be a part of NICHE, as we've mentioned several times earlier, you can visit the website, consumerhort.org. There's a nice little Join Us button that'll take you to a screen that looks like this. Very non-invasive, just drop us your name, your email, let us know your company name, who you're with, and you'll be a part of that future communication list. You can connect with any of the committees, the three committees that spoke this morning. So their email addresses are here. If you were to visit the same consumerhort.org website, you would find our organizational chart, so you would see those names again, just to remind you, just to be able to connect with those folks. I will put this back up on the screen before we conclude today. But I also wanted to let you know that a face-to-face meeting has actually been planned for 2018. At the time we prepared for this presentation, two dates were being held as potentials for our face-to-face, the first in June of 2018 and the second in July. And this meeting will happen in Atlanta. An easy in and an easy out if you're traveling by air. So we encourage you to join us to further these discussions and work. And so without further ado, I just want to say thank you to each of the contributors, the presenters this morning. You can see we've got a lot of people that are part of this effort, and everybody's pooling together their knowledge and resources, and we just appreciate your contributions today. And with that, I'm going to back up and put our committee team contact information on the screen. So thank you.